This is Conversations with Corliss, the podcast that features real and inspiring people who are leading their lives with purpose, passion, and confidence. Through their stories, advice, and expertise, you will be empowered with tools and insights to become the leader you are meant to be. Your host, Corliss, is a Dare to Lead trained, certified success principles coach, best-selling author, and inspirational speaker. As an entrepreneur for more than two decades, she has coached, trained, and mentored thousands to tap into their personal power and realize their potential. Through her company, Corliss Co., she will help you dream again and break through what holds you back from leading the life you want to have. Connect with her today at corliss.ca.
Hi, everyone. This is Conversations with Corliss, a real leadership podcast. Here we will talk about all the things it takes to bravely lead the life you deserve. Welcome to the conversation. You may have guessed it. My name is Corliss, and I created this podcast simply because I want to help people and make a bigger impact. You see, one day I woke up in my 40s and realized time stands still for no one. With my kids more independent, my career not as fulfilling as it once was, I found myself wondering if this was it and what was next for me. I went looking for answers to recreate my life, and I found them in having meaningful conversations with inspiring people. That's what we'll do here for you. Whatever you're looking for, I'm glad you're here. Aging has given me the invaluable insight that we should make every moment count. It's time to take charge of your life, to rise up and be all you can be. This podcast is meant to help you do that. So let's get started. This is episode 075, Words Matter with Greg Kettner. Most of us are familiar with that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. This conversation is meant to challenge that age-old saying. It's simply not true. What we say matters, just as the words that we hear matter. Both our internal and external dialogues impact us, and quite literally, a kind word can save someone's life. Words spoken can never be taken back, and we must give thought towards the words that we use. Even on an energetic level, the words we speak, whether out loud or silently, create an energy that transmits. Words are like a messenger to the universe, and we must use and choose those words wisely. This interview with Greg will help you raise your awareness and elevate your conversations, choosing words that matter and make a difference. Greg Kettner is a TEDx keynote speaker, trainer, and coach who helps organizations reduce stress, boost productivity, and foster a mental health mindfulness culture with the Work Happy framework. The Power of Laughter keynote will inspire and empower your workforce by prioritizing people over profits. Organizations with happy employees are 18% more productive, have reduced turnover, and have increased their revenue. The Work Happy framework has been developed from lessons learned during his 27 years in sales and leadership career with organizations such as Nike, the Vancouver Canucks, the Vancouver Whitecaps, Business Objects, SAP, and Build Direct. Greg is also a world-class connector who's had beers with Wayne Gretzky, shared the stage with Robin Williams, and nearly knocked over Queen Elizabeth II. So I'm really excited about having our guest here today. His name is Greg, and Greg and I have met online. We've connected through a mutual friend that has now brought Greg into my life, and he has been such an inspiration to me since the moment that we met. We've had many powerful conversations, and I'm so excited to bring him here to all of you to talk about the words that we say and why they matter in both our past lives and also in our existing lives. Welcome to the show, Greg. Super happy you're here. Thanks for taking the time.
Great. Thanks, Corliss. I'm really thrilled to be on, and I appreciate you letting me share what, you know, some of the conversations that we've had before and how words really do matter. I mean, even though I'm, you know, just over 50, I'm learning that words matter even more, and, you know, from our past and in our future and how we talk to each other. So thank you for talking about this and for being my friend and my mentor.
Oh, thanks so much for that. I appreciate it. You know, a lot of the conversations that I have, and even in my own coaching processes, I go through the past, because the past really makes us who we are today. And who we are today is preparing ourselves for really what's in the future. And as we talk about this, I know in part of the conversation when we were like discussing what we were going to talk about today, that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's a total lie. And Absolutely. And I know you know that, and that's why we're here sharing this conversation. So tell us a bit of the backstory here, like in the past, why you're so passionate about this and why you know for sure that that old saying is just simply not true.
Yeah, well, I guess it kind of boiled up to me. I've been speaking and helping organizations and people. How do we work happy? And how do we talk about mental health in the workplace? And my story with mental health, my stepdaughter lost her dad to suicide 6 years ago. And so before then, I had friends in the past, you know, in my teenage years who had passed by suicide, but I've really learned that words do matter, right? Because it's still, I used to say committed suicide, which is not the right thing to say, right? We committed crime. But passed by suicide or took their life, there's different ways of saying it. But I've learned that, right? Going through this process with Rachel losing her father. You know, I went to therapy, Rachel's gone to therapy, my wife has, all of us have, right? Because we didn't know how to get through it. And I've just really learned that words matter, and being a step parent for 6 years, it's just amazing how little things that the way I grew up, right? Words can be so much different. And so I really strive to think more before I speak and make sure I'm saying the right thing and make sure I'm just saying it in a kind way. And I just think it's powerful when people, you know, thank you, please, you're welcome. Even though, how often do you hear that?
Yeah, to be really conscious of that. You know, I was thinking about things that were said to me when I was younger that kind of shaped me in the sense of who I am and how I feel about myself. And, you know, a lot of the things that, you know, people say because they're not thinking, like they're not thinking about the impact of their words. I think we influence our children, we influence the people around us by the things that we say in either a positive or negative way. And the idea here is for us to be very aware of the words that have been said to us that have shaped us into who we are and the words that we are saying now, and to really practice saying words that are going to positively impact versus negatively, wherever that voice is that you're using it. I mean, it can even be on social media. It can be in your own home. It can be in your workplace. And sometimes it seems like it's not significant, and it is, and it is.
Yeah, it really is.
Tell us about a time that, you know, someone said something to you that impacted you, maybe not in a good way. And then give us the alternate of something that someone said to you that impacted you in a great way.
Yeah. Well, you know, probably one of the biggest ones, and I'm with therapy and being married and just working through life and just reflecting, probably one of the most, growing up, I took piano, I took Royal Conservatory piano. I got up to grade 10. I was pretty proficient, would do recitals and stuff. And I wanted to be the next Billy Joel or David Foster. Those were my two heroes. And I wanted to have a grand piano and all this. So when I got to college, I was taking music theory and I really struggled with it. It was in the first quarter, and for whatever reason, the teacher was not a big fan of Greg Kettner, which is fine. Not everybody has to be. So I struggled with music theory, and I had a couple of friends help me out, because that quarter for our final grade, we had to write a hymn, like a 3-4-5 chord. If you know anything about music, it's short. We didn't have to have words or anything, but it was, you know, a short score that we had to write on our own using our music theory. And so I'd worked on it with my two friends and got my help, and it came time to the teacher was going to play him in front of class, and we're all going to kind of listen in and give our thoughts and whatnot. And he got up there and he's like, oh, well, let's see what Greg can do, or what did Greg do? And he put the piece of paper up and he started playing. He goes, oh, this doesn't sound right. Maybe I have the sheet music upside down. This is in front of class, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like 19. And I just had that feeling of like, I want to hide. I want to shrink as much as I can. And so he, in front of class, he flipped the page upside down And he started playing again. He goes, oh, well, maybe I'll start from the end and work backwards. And I got up. I was, you know, in the front of the class. I got up, grabbed my book bags, walked out, slammed the door, and went changed my major to business from music. And
wow.
And at 19, I was like, you know what? That guy's a real piece of work. But I didn't do anything with it, right? And then when I started going to therapy, and thankfully my wife, she's like, you know what? We all need a little bit of help. You should try it sometime. And so I did. And this came up one time in therapy, and I'm like, you know what? The guy was like, you need to let go of that. And I said, well, I think I can. He said, no, you need to reach out to this person if you can. Right. And so I tracked down an email address and sent him an email and never heard back. So I also sent a handwritten letter and just saying, you know what, this is what happened. I've held it for way too long. I'm letting it go, and I forgive you. And I never heard back from the guy. But those words, even though I didn't know it, right, stuff will come boiling up in our lives, and dealing with it and getting help. And I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect, but I'm willing to learn from when I do make mistakes. And so now I can teach that from the stage or in coaching or in training, you know, or even with my stepdaughter.
Wow. What a story. Thanks for sharing that. It really goes to
show. I've never told that story before. So thank you for giving me the space.
You know, it's like, those things happen and they shape us. So there was two things that were going through my mind when you were telling that story. First of all, every single one of us has a story like that, where somebody has said something and it, you know, triggers something within us to make decisions that take us on a certain path. And I'm so inspired by the fact that you are willing to share it and be honest about it, and that you got help for it. And also that forgiveness, you don't need the other person for forgiveness. You can release something without having the other person even involved. But the other thing is I was thinking about what that person must have been going through, why he acted that way. Like, you know, a teacher is supposed to support, encourage, engage, not embarrass, right? And it just goes to show that we need to do our self-growth and our self-improvement so that we don't negatively impact people with our words, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love what you said too, right? Because I always thought you have to ask for forgiveness, and the person says, okay, no, it's good. You know, we're good. And if you can, that's great, but you don't have to. And just giving, taking that burden off and doing, just going, all right, I forgive that person. That was his thing. He said that to me. I don't have to believe that the rest of my life. And I went to the World Happiness Summit, which was amazing. It was in London this year. 2 days of just such great lessons and such great speakers and training and everything. And after my wife and daughter came over, we went to Paris for a week, and we were talking, and that story came up. And she's like, you know what? You should take piano lessons when you get home. So when I have some time, I'm going to look for a piano teacher and start playing again, just because I love to do it. And why should I let words hold me back? Right. But I think it's a powerful lesson, because if I can share that, you know, on a stage in front of 300 or 400 people, how many other people are going to go, oh, I've got this thing, I've got that thing. Right. So me learning this, what I love to do now is share what I've learned, right? So other people, I don't have to hold on to it as long.
I'm so inspired by that. So do you think that it's because you forgave it and released it that now the door has opened for you to try something else and to go back to it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I mean, I had really forgotten about it until even I went to therapy, right? And we can, and therapy doesn't have to be a super psychiatrist and all this kind of weird stuff. I mean, therapy, I started meditation during COVID, right? That's my therapy as well too. But I don't know who said it, but I love this analogy. It's hard to read the label on a jar when you're sitting inside.
Hmm.
So why not go to someone who's gone to school, has an education, and talks to hundreds of people about the same thing that I'm going through, and you can give me a different perspective.
Yeah, so good. So good. Yeah. So what about a pause? How about a story about someone saying words to you that you've carried with you that really uplifted you, that were like really positive and kind of built on who you are? Do you have a story like that?
Oh yeah, I've got, I've got a lot, probably. You know what? It was, I was on a TV show called The Audience, and it was when I was doing stand-up comedy in Vancouver. I took 6 years off to try and do stand-up comedy, and I got pretty good, but it took me 6 years to figure out that I liked money more than stand-up. But so I had an opportunity to be on this TV show, and I don't know, it paid a whopping $1,500 for the week of filming. But 50 people followed me around for a week. So from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. So they came to a comedy show, and I was delivering flyers at the time as well, too. And they literally came into my apartment. And my brother was on the show. My friend Colby was on the show, too. And they were talking to them, and they were trying to figure out what was holding me back and why I wasn't doing what I really wanted to do, because I was just kind of, you know, a rudderless ship. And so, you know, people were asking, and it came down, and this one gal, we were sitting in the my living room, and it was a small basement apartment. So it was crammed, and it was hot, and we'd been there for about 2 hours, and people were just asking me these questions, what's holding you back, what's holding you back? So it was almost like going to therapy with 50 therapists. I grew up very conservative Christian, and so we weren't, you know, no going to bars or stand-up comedy or swearing and stuff. And they said, well, what's holding you back? And finally, this one gal asked, she goes, what does your mom think about what you do, stand-up comedy-wise? Has she ever been to a show? And I said, no, she's never been to a show because I've been embarrassed because of my swearing, and we're in a club and we're drinking. And she said, but you love what you do and your mom loves you. Why don't you invite her to the show? And I totally broke down in front of 50 people. I'm bawling. Everybody's coming around giving me hugs. And I go, that's it. I was scared of what my mom and dad would think of me because of what I enjoyed to do. And so I said, that's it. So I picked up my phone and I called them, and they bawling. They're like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I had this breakthrough with 50 strangers, and I was like, what is wrong with you? And I said, you know what? I know I do stand-up comedy. It's not your kind of flavor, but I would love it if you and Dad came to the show. And she says, absolutely. She goes, we're going to be in Vancouver in 2 weeks. So I set up a show, and I got them tickets. They were in the front row. And I had to work on my set. I cleaned up my set. It was a PG set for mom and dad. But the coolest words that she said to me after that show, she said, Greg, I was having so much fun, I forgot to take pictures.
Aww.
And I was just like, oh, okay. I continued to stand up for another 2 years. And then, I met Becky, and when you decide to get married, you can't, you know, live off of $1,500 a month and be on the road. But that's always stuck with me. I mean, that was 15 years ago, but just knowing that my mom believed in me, and she had so much fun that she forgot to take pictures, and every mom takes pictures. Right. Mm-hmm. So that was the flip side, right?
Yeah.
She thought so much about me, and that's propelled me into, you know, what I do now is serve other people, and how do we work happy, and how do we talk about mental health, and how do we make sure we're saying the right words?
So, okay. Like, first of all, I love that story. And I have so many stories myself. Like, I just want to share one where I remember just being mortified in a classroom setting. So in an elementary school setting, where a basketball coach was doing a practice with grade 5 students. So they're just learning basketball, like just figuring it out. These kids have no idea what they're doing. And they're all just kind of shooting and doing their thing. And they were supposed to be trying to practice a 3-point shot, you know, from the kind of outside edge or whatever. I don't even know the language, but anyway, they were practicing this shot. And the teacher got everybody to line up on the line and took this one kid. I remember being in the stands thinking, do you have any idea what you're doing to that child right now? And said, okay, everybody, let's see this shot of this child. So he got the child to take a shot and then said, now everything that he just did, you never do any of that. Oh. And I watched that child want to go into a puddle into the gymnasium floor because he thought that he was being pulled up there to demonstrate something good. And instead, oh, he was being used as an example of how bad he was at it. And I just thought, we have to get so much more aware of the impact of our influence and the things that we say and the things that we do, because they matter so much. Now, I don't know how much that's impacted that child moving forward, but I can guarantee you that it has impacted, and not such a good way. So I think the idea of this conversation is not to, you know, guilt ourselves about the words that we say or where we screwed up. And it's not to sit in the past of like the things that people said to us that hurt us, but more to educate ourselves in understanding of this is, our words matter. We matter. What we say matters. Who we are matters. And we have to really be conscious of it and pay close attention to it, because it can impact in such a, such a profound way. One story, I remember going to an event, and this woman put her hands on my shoulders and she said, I'm going to keep my eye on you because you're going to do great things. And at that time, I mean, I'm in my early 20s. I think I have no influence at all. I don't think I'm anything important. Had a lot of struggles with my self-esteem at that point and my sense of self-worth. And to have someone say that to me was just profound. Like, I was just, it still actually makes me a little bit teary thinking about it, because it had such an impact on me. So yeah, so the idea here is to just really embrace the idea that words matter.
Hey everyone, I'm just popping in to let you know that I am not only your podcast host, but I am also a speaker. If you're planning an event, either in person or virtually, I invite you to consider me. I have a real passion for helping people be the best that they can be, and through my keynotes, I teach them how to own that power. My goal is always to leave people better than I found them, and by sharing stories that uplift and practical strategies that they can apply to their lives, I believe it helps them show up as the best that they can be, making a positive impact in their homes, workplace, and community. Please feel free to reach out to me at corliss.ca if you want to tell me about your event and see how I can support it.
Now, you had said to me in an earlier conversation that words can even heal. Do you want to share a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I'm talking about this in my TEDx talk on Sunday. They're just powerful, and I, you know, one thing that I'm learning as I'm going through this and studying and working on myself is words matter to us, what we say to ourselves, right? Like you were saying, we need to give ourselves grace. We can't, you know, what happened, what is going to happen in the future, we're not sure, but talking even to ourselves, and my buddy Jason Wayne turned me into this. He wrote out a list of affirmation that he reads every morning. And so he sent it over to me. I made them for me, but just affirmations. I am a good speaker. I am a good stepdad. I am a good husband. I am a good friend, right? All these things that we do when we wake up in the morning. And I was listening to Mel Robbins' podcast a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about, she gives herself a high five in the mirror every morning when she's brushing her teeth. And I was like, okay, that's really stupid, Mel. And then I tried it, and you know, it's the first thing when you wake up in the morning before you check your phone or do anything, you're walking in the bathroom, you give yourself a high five, and you're like, you know what, gosh darn it, I'm good enough. And so words to ourselves, right? Because how can we serve others if we're not in the right frame of mind? So I think it's really important to the way we talk to ourselves, because like you said, and we've all had stuff, you know, when we were kids, people said something and we believed them. And let's start believing what's really true about us. Let's believe the good things. Let's believe, you know, what we think about ourselves. But on the question of how words can heal and how they can be so powerful, this was probably 5 or 6 months ago. I was just on Facebook, and one Thursday afternoon, I just typed, it was a purple background, and I just typed 4 words, "You matter to me." And that was it. And I sent it out into the universe, and pretty much forgot about it. And a couple of days later, I had this really long message in my inbox, and I began reading. It was from a friend. We'd worked together, you know, 25 years before. We kind of kept in touch on Facebook, but that was about it. And she started by saying, you know, "Thank you so much for your posts. They helped me, and you have no idea what that post meant to me." And it went on and was saying that they were going through a separation, and their kid was struggling at school, and they were, you know, battling depression and whatnot. And she said that it got so tough that she had actually had a plan to end her life. And she said she got up that morning and saw those 4 words and thought, "You know what? I matter to Greg." And she didn't go through with her plan. And so now I'm sitting there reading this message, tears running down my face. And it's never about me. It's about the message, right? I had no idea, 4 words. And now that story, I can share that with other people, and how many people are going to be impacted by that, right? I'm lucky that she shared that with me. But I know that there's many other people out there that will see something, they don't want to say anything or do anything, but when I can share the story, that's the power of words, right? I didn't even speak them, I typed them. But it saved one person from, you know, changing the direction of their life.
You know, Greg, when I listen to you, what I think is love. You come from a place of love. And I think that maybe that's how simple it could be. When we go to choose our words, do we choose them from a place of love or from somewhere else that isn't as supportive, right? And that's really beautiful. You matter to me. I hope you know you matter to me.
Oh, likewise. And thank you. And that means a lot, right? And it feels good to hear that from somebody else, because I don't know, life is just for me. My parents, they taught us to serve, and it's much easier to be nice than to be mad and upset and say hurtful things. And I'm not perfect, trust me. I'll probably stub my toe tomorrow or something. But you know, when we take the time in conscious, it can change people's lives, and it can change mine. And I'm so grateful that she's allowed me to share that story. You know, because who else, whether it's on this podcast, right, or if you retell the story from stage or in one of your coaching sessions, if we have stories like this that we can share and learn from, the power of words, we're going to be more mindful of what we say to each other.
Yeah, mindful. I like your humility. I really do. I like how you're like, "I'm not perfect." You've said that a couple of times. And I think that part of why we don't really allow, I'm not saying that you do, but I know in my own experiences and in other people that I've worked with, it's like we don't really allow it in because we're like, we're not perfect. Like, we're not perfect. We're looking for that humility side, that humble side of us. And I'm here to tell you, Greg, you rock. You show up you show up in a very significant, powerful, loving way. And although no one is perfect, you really own the message that you speak, and you live it and you lead it. And I appreciate it so, so much. So well, please take that in, right in. Okay.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. You're filling my cup.
Good. I'm glad, because it's true. I'm saying the truth here. These words matter, but what I'm saying is the truth. You know, both our internal and external dialogue matter. And one thing, there's something that I'm not even sure who said it, but it has stuck with me my whole life. The most important conversation you'll ever have in a day is the one you have with yourself. So you bring up such a good point about being consciously aware of what we're saying to ourselves, the story that we tell ourselves and about our situation. It's not just always external. It's actually that inner conversation that counts.
And that's so true. It's happened in my life. And we were coming back from, I came back a couple of days earlier before the girls from our vacation in Paris. And this story is, I haven't even told it yet because it happened on Sunday. So the girls were coming back, and they flew from London to LA, and their flight from LA up to Seattle was delayed or something, canceled or something. And my wife and me thought, oh, great. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? It's not going to go well. And then she caught herself. She said, you know what? What's the best thing that can happen? And so she had a positive mindset, and she self-talk, right? Okay, what good can come out of this? And so she went up to the counter at Alaska Airlines, who were phenomenal with the customer service. She explained the deal and what happened and stuff. And the lady's like, oh, let's see what we can do. Well, come to find out, they got them on a next plane 30 minutes later, and her and Rachel were in first class.
No right? Way.
Yeah, it's pouring as it sounds. Instead of going, oh, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? She's like, what's the best thing that can happen? And it ended up, you know, they got first class and a free drink and big seats. And so it happens, right? And it's the positive self-talk. If we believe in ourselves, why wouldn't anybody else?
So true. And people just don't know, right? They just don't know how powerful that inner dialogue is, and that those inner dialogues that we have with ourselves, so the conversation that no one else hears, just the one that's going on in our own minds, they don't realize that it stems from a thought. So you can change your life by changing your thoughts, and the words that you speak to yourself are connected to the thought, right? So I love that you said you do affirmations, because I teach affirmations. And at first it feels kind of phony, because it's like, if I say I am lovable and I don't believe I'm lovable, it feels fake. But what you're doing is you're reprogramming the thought. You're affirming a different belief instead of this old one that is playing in your dialogue all the time. You're reprogramming it on purpose, saying, no, that's no longer the belief that I hold about myself. And it makes you feel different. So you think a thought, you speak a word internally or externally, it creates a feeling, and then you act based on that. And people just don't know this stuff. When my boyfriend and I first started dating, we were going on a flight. And of course, we all know the industry can be touchy, like flights cancel. And I always hold myself to the standard of something, because I had watched someone, I've traveled for years. My past career really allowed me in a lot of opportunities to travel. And they said that you can tell a lot about a person based on how they handle flight cancellations and delays. And I remember seeing a woman in an airport completely losing her mind about our flight being canceled. And I mean, it was inconvenient for me too. I mean, everybody felt, I mean, no one likes a flight delay or a cancellation, but this woman was going off on everyone. Supervisor came out, and I remember thinking, I don't want to be that person. You can tell a lot about a person based on how they react. So I made like a very conscious decision when I travel, and this was like 20 some years ago, that no matter what happens, I really believe it's happened for the best. If the plane is not good, I don't want to be on it. If the pilot isn't good, I don't want to be on it. If the weather's not good, I don't want to be on it. I just accept it and embrace it. And when Shane and I first started dating, we were on this, I got called to the front desk, and he's like, see, it's going to be canceled. And I was like, no, I don't believe that. I think what's going to happen is they're going to upgrade us to first class. And he was like, oh yeah, whatever. Cause he just didn't know this stuff. I go up there, I come back, and I'm smiling, because guess what happened? We got boosted to first class. And Shane was like, I can't believe how you do that. And I said, I'm telling you, it's repeatable. You just have to learn this stuff, and you have to believe it, and you have to embrace it, and it can happen. So just stick with that. Just stick with that, yeah. and hold that to be a truth, so you can reprogram yourself anytime. Is there anything else? So I have three questions that I always ask people at the end of my podcast. But first, I want to ask you to share, if somebody is like, you know what, I know my internal and external dialogue is not powerful. I know I still have things to heal here. I'm still working on this idea that words matter. What would you say to them as far as steps? Like, what would be a first place to begin of what we can do to like understand how words impact both internal and external dialogue?
Yeah, I think the first step is just being kind to yourself and giving yourself grace, right? We've all gone through the ringer, especially the last 3 years. And, you know, if you're struggling, I always tell people, reach out, you know, reach out to a friend, reach out to a partner, your somebody at work, maybe a kid or doctor, therapist, whatever, right? But all of us typically have one friend that we can go to, right? And now you're one of those friends that I can. And like you said, we've had many conversations or quick texts like, hey, you got this, you rock, right? And those words matter as well too. But find, go to your friend and just have a conversation with them and just say, you know what, I'm struggling with self-affirmation and I just need someone to talk to. And it's amazing the conversations that you'll have with that person, because I would bet money that that person is not 100% like, oh, I'm the best there is, right? We're all human. We all have our ups. We all have our downs. We have our good days and our bad days. But when we have conversations like you are and I are right now, or with our friends, it's amazing. And just start collecting things. I started doing this when I started speaking, but I've got a, I know you can't see it because we're only recording, but on my phone, I've got a happy folder. So it's, if anybody says anything kind on social media, or someone sends me a note or a picture, I'll put it in there. And then on my bad days, when I'm like struggling and like, ah, I can't do this, or I don't feel good, I go to my happy folder and I read these things. And even just one or two, it lights you up, right? So if you can go back and remember those kind words and just reaffirm yourself and take care of yourself, give yourself the grace and reach out, you know, reach out to Corliss, reach out to myself. We're meant to serve people, and that's what we do best.
That is such a great takeaway. Create a happy folder on your phone. And basically what you're doing is setting reminders, like get around people who are going to remind you of who you really are and that will encourage you and inspire you. And if you don't have that in your life right now, for goodness sakes, it's available, guys. Find it. Find, join a coaching community, get a coach, go to Empowering Things, like just put yourself in those spaces. I do have one last question, because you're going to do a TED Talk. A yep. TED Talk, like you are yep. doing a well, TED Talk, TEDx. Well, TEDx. Okay, yeah. I don't know the difference, but I do know it's on my vision board that I actually want to do a TED Talk.
Well, let's do one.
Well, TEDx. Yeah, I have TEDx. Yeah. I'm literally looking at it right now on my vision board. I don't exactly know how you do a TEDx talk, but can you teach us? Because somebody might be aspiring to like want to move in that direction. So this is your second one. Tell us about how this process works and how you ended up here. Was it on your vision board?
Yeah, no, it was. It was when I started speaking. I'm like, I would love to do a TEDx talk and share, you know, my big idea. And my first one was in 2020. And so I just went in to TEDx.com, and it gives you all the listings of all the ones that they have around the world. And I picked the one closest to where I live in Walla Walla, Washington, which was Spokane, and I applied, and it was a one page, and like, what's your big idea? And I got, out of 120, they narrowed it down to 20, I think, or 30. And then we each got on a Zoom. So there's 20 or 30 of us on a Zoom, and we had 7 minutes to pitch our idea. So we had 5 minutes to pitch our idea, and then they gave us, then they would ask questions for 2 minutes about our idea. And I got chosen, and, you know, I mean, you're a speaker as well, too. So it was just crafting it. You know, you're down to 10 minutes. And it was amazing. I learned a lot about myself. I became a better person and a better speaker, and I had an opportunity to do it again. And I'm just thrilled, because the message that, you know, how to take a compliment, please and thank you, and all those kinds of things, and you're welcome, is going to be out there, because so many of us, and I didn't know how to do it before, too. I love it when I can learn something to make myself better. I want to share that with other people.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing.
If you want help, let's have another conversation. I would love to help you reach your goal.
Oh, well, it's on my vision. Maybe it'll happen sooner than later now.
Yeah, exactly.
I got anxious just thinking about like being on a Zoom pitching an idea. I don't know. Maybe I'm not ready, but I also believe that if you jump, the net will appear, and that you just have to figure it out as you go. And you just got to learn along the way. And thankfully I have a pro in my corner that knows how to do this. So, so
and,
maybe
and you've already got it. You already have a TEDx talk in Corliss. It's just fine tuning it. It's already there.
Maybe. Okay. We will have another conversation about that. Okay. I will choose to embrace that. Thank you so much. Okay. Three loaded questions for the end. So This one's usually hard for guests, especially guests who have really immersed themselves in personal growth and development, because I'm going to ask you to just pick one book that you've read that has been a game changer for you, that has really helped you. It might be about words that we're talking about today. It might be about something else, but I'd like a book recommendation for those who want to continue their learning.
Yeah. Simon Sinek, Discovering Your Why.
Ah, Start With Why.
Yeah.
I love that book. It's literally behind me on my bookshelf.
I'm a big fan. Listen to his podcast. It's absolutely amazing. And the thing I love about him is he's no bones. The people that I follow, like, you know, I messed up in my life. I've learned this lesson and I'm sharing it with you. And I guess that's my theory now as well too, right? But yeah, Simon Sinek, Start With Why is a brilliant book.
Okay. Awesome. I completely agree with you. So good. All of his work is so good.
Yep.
Okay. The next question, because this is a leadership podcast, so I believe in personal leadership, that we're all leading and we're all influencing. And that is exactly what this podcast is about. Conversations with people who are empowered and using their lessons and experiences to help other people. So from your perspective, when I say the word leadership, what does it mean to you?
Leadership is lifting other people up, right? Putting people before profits. And when we do that, when we take care of our people and we give them, you know, a purpose, it's amazing how the profits will go up. But so many times, you know, as leaders, like, oh, I need to get to the top so I can lead people. No, leadership is service. If we could change from leadership to servership, That to me, that's what a leader is, serving other people.
You do that every day. Thanks for leading, Greg.
Thank you.
The final question. So based on everything that you've been through in your life, all the highs and all the lows, if you could leave just one piece of advice, what would you want to tell people?
Take care of yourself and take care of the ones you love. Because at the end of the day, we all die with the same amount of toys, and studies have been done again and again and again, and people on their deathbed wish they wouldn't have worked as hard and they would have spent more time with the people that they love.
True story. What a great closing thought. Thank you for those powerful words, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, have an incredible time. You have an incredible time this weekend. I can't wait to listen to your TEDx talk. I'll be sharing it out, and we'll be in touch again soon. Thanks, Greg.
Great. Thanks again, Corliss.
If you enjoyed this episode and it brought you value, make sure and share it with a friend or screenshot it and post it to your Instagram story or Facebook, tagging me at Corliss Co. I know the most precious of all commodities is your time, and I want to thank you all very much for spending this time with me today. Remember, you have the power to lead. Know your worth, embrace your value, see you have purpose, and be the leader you are meant to be.